Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. How good do you have to be in a right relationship with God? How good do you have to be to maintain your right relationship with God? I mean, we want to be a good person, right? We want to do right things. We want to avoid wrong things in life. And we know that being accepted by God is the most important thing. There's something about we're saved by grace, not by works, right? So, of course, grace, the grace of God, that's got to be part of it. How does it all fit together? Well, we are in a series where we are going through the solas, the five solas of the Reformation. What does it mean to be reformed? Of course, we want to define our terms, as we've been saying, but part of it is that you would hold and your church would hold to these slogans of the Reformation, which all include a form of the Latin word sola, which means alone. We have seen that the Reformers believed in the Scriptures alone as the sole authority for life and ministry and salvation, and that faith alone was a vital part of this as well, not faith plus our works. Well, related to that is grace alone, sola gratia. And it can be a little tricky because everybody would say grace is great, when you add good works to supplement grace, grace disappears. Wow, that's really good. Bob Burridge says, the essence of false Christianity is the denial that each of these stands alone, talking about all the solas. People freely talk about the Bible, grace, faith, Christ, and God's glory. The problem many have is with the sola part. Only when these things stand alone is the gospel seen as what the Bible says it is, rather than what many wish it to be. That's so good. That is so important. We don't want to have mostly truth with a little bit of error. We want to be Bible men and women, and not just because we're in the tradition of the Reformation, anything like that. No, we want to believe and hold to what the Bible teaches. Now, if the Bible teaches these solas of the Reformation, is it okay to say, yeah, we're locking arms with brothers and sisters all around the world that also believe these things are taught in the Bible? Yeah, of course, absolutely, yes. So let's focus in on grace alone. What's the big essence of this? Because again, I think most Christians, or even most people who think of themselves as Christians, when you start talking about the grace of God, they will sing right along with John Newton's famous hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Great. We love it. We all love it. Cue the bagpipes, right? But do we really understand sola gratia? Well, sola gratia emphasizes that justification is completely a gift from God. We do not have the power to be good enough to earn God's favor. And it really, the essence of this flows from even as Augustine taught, but again, drawing straight from the scriptures, total depravity. Total depravity doesn't mean you're as bad as you possibly could be, but it does mean that every part of you is tainted by sin, sin that you inherited from Adam. It's not that you were just dropped on your head as a kid and you started doing bad things. If you were dropped on your head, no offense, I wasn't trying to pick on you. I just mean people make excuses for doing bad things. We do bad things because we were born bad, because we are children of Adam and Eve. And our first parents blew it and plunged the race into sin. I think people often underestimate how bad we are. Again, total depravity doesn't teach that everybody is as bad as they could be, but it does teach that you're worse than you probably think. One great passage to look at when we're thinking about total depravity is Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and following. And this is so good because Paul is summarizing what he's been teaching in Romans 1 through 3, that all humanity is under the just condemnation from a holy God. Well, why? It's because we're so sinful. Oh, really? How sinful are we? Paul just strings together a bunch of Old Testament quotations to make his point. He says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. Just stop right there and think about that. None is righteous. So I thought I might be good enough. No. The Bible's couldn't be clearer. None is righteous. And even if you miss that, he emphasizes it by saying, no, not one. Let's continue on. Romans 3:11. No one understands. You thought that your mind was innocent, but the rest of you may be a little guilty. No. Your mind is affected by your sin. You see life, and especially you see your own situation through tainted eyes, through the distorted mirror at the carnival, where you're just not seeing it straight. No one understands. No one seeks for God. Boy, don't you know that there's some people that believe that, okay, yes, God, has this general love for everyone, and the gospel is offered to everyone, and those who seek him, those are the ones he chooses before the foundation of the world to be saved. No, that wouldn't work very well if this verse is true, which says no one seeks for God. The reason why people do seek for God is because God first seeks them. God chose them before the foundation of the world because of his grace, not because of anything in them that deserves it. Keep going with Romans 3. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their path are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Wow, we're in a bad way. Ephesians chapter 2 is going to tell us we're dead. We're completely spiritually dead. We're the walking dead, if you will. Yeah, we're walking around on the outside, but inside, we are full of dead men's bones when it comes to the things of God. Things just don't add up. And so if God is to save anyone, I love the way James Montgomery Boyce put it. He says, if God does save sinners, which he does in the case of some, but not all, it is only because it pleases him to do it. Indeed, apart from this grace and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit that flows from it, no one would be saved, since in our lost condition, human beings are not capable of winning, seeking out, or even cooperating with God's grace. by insisting on grace alone. James Montgomery Boyce continues, the reformers were denying that human methods, techniques, or strategies in themselves could ever bring anyone to faith. Wow. It is, when you understand how bad the situation is, that really helps you appreciate how great God's grace is. It's way better than we thought. It's way better than we realized. It is absolutely essential. You don't have the power to do it on your own. You are dead. You don't understand. You don't get it. I mean, do you hear the gospel? Yes. Could you figure it out from there? Could you take it from there? No. You don't even get the gospel. I mean, how many times have you shared the gospel with someone and it's just like you're talking to a wall? They just don't get it. Or they make all these excuses why that can't possibly be so. And you talk to someone else, say the same words, and the light bulb comes on and they're saved. They believe. What's the difference? The grace of God, the sovereign grace of God. Our salvation is by grace alone. Sola gratia. This is what we're talking about today on Integrated. After the break, we want to come back and consider more of just how amazing God's grace is in our salvation and what it means for the Christian life.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Kratz in just a moment. He's talking about grace alone today, and we'll get back to that very shortly. But you know, on my phone, there's one app that has kind of become the default when I've got just a few minutes. And I'm not just saying that because I work here. Okay, I do say that because I work here, but I also say it because it's absolutely true. Fortis Plus is an entire library. And it's not just a static library, it's something that's being added to every single day. Our Fortis Institute fellows are seriously putting in some work and pushing out content like Dr. John Kratz, who you're listening to right now, Dr. Adam Tyson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Dr. Andrew Walker, Tim Challies, or Dr. Jason Lyle. They are pushing out content, like I said, that we're adding every single day. So if you've got just a few minutes, or maybe you've got a little bit longer, I'm telling you, it's worth your while to make sure Fortis Plus is downloaded to your phone or even now your smart TV. Go to fortisplus.org as well to find out exactly how you can do both of those things. Now, real quick, here's how it stays free, because I don't think I told you that, but it's absolutely free. Doesn't cost you a dime. We have no corporate sponsors or anyone behind the scenes who's trying to tell us what to produce, what to say, what not to say, nothing like that. We are financed by people just like you, people who've decided, hey, I want more people in more places to be able to benefit from the content the same way that I have. We call those gospel partners, and we would be honored if you would consider being among our gospel partners, as long as you're currently faithfully giving to your local church, because that's where you should be giving first. That's your first priority. And if that's looking good in your life, boy, we would be honored if you would start praying about what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you've got questions, and hopefully we have some answers available for you right now at fortisinstitute.org. You can go there and find those answers. So whether you need content to help you with struggles in your life, Fortis Plus, that's where you want to go. And if you want to help us to continue keeping it free for everyone, you can become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can find out all of that information again at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz now. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. The words sola gratia mean that human beings have no claim upon God. That is, God owes us nothing except just punishment for our many and very willful sins. These are the words of James Montgomery Boyce, the longtime pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He's gone on to heaven, but what a great preacher he was and has wonderful books in print. He's talking about grace alone, one of the slogans of the Reformation, sola gratia. Our salvation is all by God's grace. We don't believe this because John Calvin or Martin Luther taught it or believed it. We believe it because the Bible teaches it. One of the great passages which summarizes this teaching about God's sovereign grace is Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3 start out by emphasizing how bad the bad news is. Here is what your life was like before salvation. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying about the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Wait, did you see the world, the flesh, and the devil, our spiritual enemies? They were all there, and we were on that team. We were dead. It's like if you walked through a cemetery and you tried to do street preaching, right? You just are preaching the gospel at the top of your lungs. You were begging people to see their sin and their need for a savior and to turn to Christ and be saved. And all of those tombstones are just looking back at you with dead people buried 6 feet below them. And nothing is happening. Absolutely nothing is happening. That is our spiritual state apart from Christ. Again, we call this total depravity. Every part of us is affected by original sin. It's not utter depravity. Doesn't mean we're as bad as we could be. By God's common grace, he withholds people from being as bad as they could be. Your neighbor is not out to get you, most likely. You may have a neighbor that's out to get you, but most of us don't have neighbors that are out to get us. Even if they're unbelievers, we're thankful for God's common grace. But we are totally depraved, and these neighbors that don't know Christ need a miracle of sovereign grace before they get it. But God does miracles. Paul told us you were dead, but the next verse, wonderful words in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. What does it mean that you were saved by grace? It means you were the dead part and God made you alive. Grace is a gift, right? That's the word. Sometimes people say grace is unmerited favor. In other words, you don't deserve the gift that you receive. I appreciate what one person said. It maybe should rightly be called ill-deserved favor, right? Not just unmerited favor. We're ill-deserved favor. We deserve wrath, and yet God gives us blessing of salvation instead. That's what it means to be saved by God's grace. I go back to James Montgomery Boyce. It is grace alone, expressed through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that brings us to Christ, releasing us from our bondage to sin and raising us from death to spiritual life. Well said, sir. That is exactly right. And so Paul goes on in Ephesians 2, verse 6, and he talks about how glorious our salvation is. You're not just raised from the dead. You are now raised us up, it says, with him, with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So your salvation is better than just being saved and put as a galley rower on a big ancient ship to be a slave of God the rest of your life with Jesus and a big whip, you know, snapping over your head to row harder for all eternity. Listen, if that was what our salvation was, that would be fantastic because we wouldn't be in hell and we would be with Jesus. But our salvation is even more spectacular than that. We're adopted into God's family. We are raised up with Christ. Christ is exalted and seated at God's right hand, and we will be with him for eternity in his place, just receiving unbelievable blessings. All of these undeserved by us, all of these by God's grace. So do you help God out? Do you make contributions? Is even your faith response something that merits you salvation? I was just preaching the other day about Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. What great words in Romans 10, verse 9. And I pointed out that just saying the words, Jesus is Lord, is not some kind of good work that we do to contribute to our salvation. No, it is just the outflowing of the faith working itself out in our hearts. In other words, if faith is like a fire in the fireplace, confessing Jesus as Lord is like the smoke coming out of the chimney, right? It's God saving us by means of the fire in the fireplace, right? But these are not good works. It's all God's grace. Even faith is a gift from God. Really? Faith is a gift from God? I thought it was something I did. Yeah, but in and of yourself, you wouldn't do it. God opened your eyes to see your sin and to see Christ. God is the one who gave birth. In fact, even those words, Jesus is Lord, Paul says in another context in 1 Corinthians 12, when the Corinthians were saying all kinds of things in the name of the Holy Spirit, Paul said, no, you would never say Jesus is accursed by the Holy Spirit, but you could never say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, with the full meaning of a heart of faith, confessing the Lordship of Christ is a gift of God's sovereign grace. Of course, Paul goes on in these famous words in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We thank God for this. The grace is a gift from God. The saved is a gift from God. The faith is a gift of God. None of these are your own doing. It is all the gift of God. None of this is a result of works. Okay, so I don't contribute to my salvation in terms of being saved. I don't contribute to maintaining my salvation. Does that mean I just sit back and let go and let God do everything else? No, the good works are vital. They follow. In fact, the next verse in Ephesians chapter 2 is verse 10, which says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there is no contradiction here between grace alone and doing good works. We just do good works because we're saved, not to be saved or to maintain our salvation. Here's another great text in Titus chapter 3. This is maybe another perspective of the same lesson we got from Ephesians 2. Paul says in verse 3 of Titus 3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we are thankful to God that we are saved by the grace of God alone. So today, how about be thankful to God? How about stop and praise God for his sovereign grace? We deserve his wrath. He gave us his grace. And now let that fuel you. Let that gratitude fuel your heart to live for Jesus today, to do something that would be a good work because you're saved. Not to be saved, not to earn your salvation, because we are saved by God's amazing grace alone.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreintz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreintz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.